you've served in many, many capacities. Yeah. You've served in many capacities as government, but you haven't run for office before.
That's exactly true.
Why start with governor as opposed to like the legislature?
Well, you know, let's look at it a different way. Why the job of being governor is to run state government and help build the economy in the state. But it's all about running state government. Now, why is it logical that we would say that somebody who's never run any part of state government would be best prepared to be governor, as opposed to somebody who's actually been running state government? So my view is, I honestly never wanted to be a politician. I mean, that's just a true fact. But I look at the economies of the state. I look at the economy in Southeast, which is struggling. I look at up north. A lot of folks feel that the economy up there is kind of headed for an economic cliff. And I think that if we keep electing professional politicians who are good at getting elected, they know all about campaigning, but they know very little about actually creating jobs or running state government. Now, that's what I've done. I led the state's team to bring the FedEx and UPS cargo hubs to Anchorage. Today, air cargo accounts for about 7,500 jobs in Anchorage. I put together the Alaska Heart Institute, which is a huge medical institution today in Alaska.
AEA, the Alaska Energy Authority, used to own the hydro plants that power Wrangell, Petersburg, and Ketchikan. And I know you were involved with the divestiture process.
That's right.
To turn those projects over to the communities. Do you see a role at this point for private investment and development of additional hydro resources in Southeast Alaska by the private sector, or do you prefer to stick with the public model?
Well, you know, when you look at the Alaska Energy Authority, it's actually a mixed model anyhow. The Alaska Energy Authority works with both private and public. I understand you do have a private development facing Petersburg, and there's real mixed opinion about that project. You know, I think it's a positive when private sector wants to invest their money here, but it's also... you know, we have an interesting sort of mixed model in Alaska between the private sector and the public sector. We probably have a closer marriage here than a lot of other places in the country. So I support that, but I also like to see private sector money come in when you can get it. But they've got to do the right job. They've got to do it well. They've got to take care of their employees and make sure they're safe. And they've got to take care of the environment and make sure they're not ruining the environment. On the other hand, certainly hydroelectric is a tremendous resource for Southeast Alaska. And now that you're getting a fiber optic connection to the world, that telecommunications connection is also really important. I'm very supportive of tying projects together through both not only the Southeast Intertie that's tying Tai'i and Swan together, but that would tie other projects together as well, sort of the smaller Southeast Intertie. And I think that's a very important part for Southeast Alaska is to get reasonably affordable power and get people off diesel.
Every candidate I talk to supports fisheries.
I like fish. They're good.
Everybody likes
fish. I like black
Alaska.
Cod. They're good.
Huge for Petersburg. Huge for Alaska. Do you have ideas for boosting the state's support for the industry in terms of maybe marketing? Are there other things that the state needs to do to help support the industry in the economic realm?
There are. You know, I was international trade director from 88 to 91. And when I started, and that means I ran the offices in Japan, Korea, Taiwan, and pretty much any international visitor that came to Alaska I would take care of. When I started, exports from Alaska were $1.2 billion, and 3 years later, they were $3.6 billion. A lot of that had to do with the FedEx and UPS cargo hubs. Exports today are $3.4 billion, almost 20 years later. That's not good. We almost have no international trade program whatsoever. I still have kept up with my international stuff, so I've been to China maybe 8 or 9 times over the last 3 years. There are 300 million people approaching middle class in China right now who eat a lot of fish. I've been to their fish markets. Our fish would fit in wonderfully. There are tremendous opportunities in China, but we need to start finding ways to make those market connections. Likewise, today you've got fiber optic internet connection here in Petersburg. I know there are a few companies like Tonka is a good example where they're using the internet and Alaska Airlines and other ways to reach their customers literally all over the world today. We've got to find more businesses where we can use that internet as the transportation system that connects Alaskans to the world, that takes good ideas, that build on the wild products we have, does more value added to it, and creates real viable businesses. And that's what I'd like to see us do in fishing more and more, is rely less on putting it in a can and more in delivering a high-value product to customers around the world.
And what would the state do to support that beyond the grant programs it puts out or has put out in the past? Do you think it
– Well, you know, we have a lot of good programs in place. We have a lot of good loan programs. I think what we need is leadership. And, you know, recently the lieutenant governor came back and he went to China and he came back and said, you know what, China would like our gas. Wow, who would have guessed China would like our gas or our oil? I think it just, and I don't mean to be flippant about that, but it really shows what lack of understanding there is about international opportunities. You know, the very first investment Japan made after the Second World War was in Southeast Alaska, in Alaska pulp. Now, sure, our pulp mills are gone, but it doesn't mean that Asia isn't aware of our resources. And we need to get back over there and connect Alaskans to Asian business opportunities. Penny Omer, who used to work for me at International Trade, she and I used to put together a trade show in Korea. It was the largest one any state ever did. We'd bring over 100 Alaskan business people to Korea to show their wares, and that created all sorts of business opportunities. We have no international trade program today. Our leaders don't understand international markets at all, and we need to get over there and start connecting what we can do and the sort of can-do attitude that Southeast Alaskans have with business opportunity.
Education, do you think the state needs to put more of its resources, more of its money specifically, into education, not just operations, but also into improving school infrastructure, but more than it does right now?
Yes. Simply. But we need to be investing from early childhood education, which really can give kids a great start, to regional vocational schools, regional high schools, I think we're going to need to start thinking about. And we need to really focus on vocational education, not just the four-year programs. But, you know, if we're going to be a vital workforce that's not only going to work in Alaska, but reach out to markets outside of Alaska, we have to recognize that if we're going to build our economy, there's only 680,000 of us. That does not make a market. For businesses to work here, we have to reach outside markets. For us to do that well, we have to be better educated, better prepared than our competition. And that means we have to invest in ourselves. And one of the ways we do that is in education. The whole reason I'm running is because I want to make sure that your kids can build their futures, their families here in Alaska, and that they have an economic opportunity, they have economic hope to do that.